Greetings, Cap fans, and welcome to episode 92 of the Captain America Comic Book Fans Podcast. I am your host, Rick Verbanis, and as always, this is the best gosh darn co-host out there, I'm telling you. It's Mr. Bob Lucius. Hey, Bob. Hello, hello, hello. Hello. Now, why am I doing that one?
Why are you doing that one, Rick?
Well, first of all, what am I doing, Bob?
Are those the Three Stooges?
Yes, the Three Stooges.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, well, because we have a third stooge on the show today. We have a guest in the house. We have Mr. James Foley. Hi, James.
Hello. How you doing, Rick? Hi, Bob.
You know, James, we're recording audio. You don't have to wave.
Makes me feel better. I'm an instructor. I got to get engaged, involved.
I almost said welcome to episode 25 because that was when we had James on the show originally. And that was 15 months ago. Man, time flies.
It's been a while.
Yeah, I know.
Oh my gosh.
So James, when he came on the show back then, it was because he won a contest. And now he's on the show.
He lost one.
Look at that. Yes, so James is this the show episode 25 dropped on April 14th of 2021, which just shot James, you know, into the outer skies as far as rocketing his popularity amongst his friends and family,
celebrity status, paparazzi, yeah, the whole thing,
yeah.
And then 2 weeks later, he joined and became a patron of the show. And not only is he any old patron, he's a super soldier patron. So thank you for that, James.
Absolutely, mm-hmm.
Indeed, amen.
Yeah,
Corey-carian.
One of the okay, people who are listening at home. James showing things to the camera. he's showing
cap related things, folks.
Yeah.
The cap.
This isn't Jeffrey Toobin. This is cap related things.
Yes. Yes. So he's showing his super soldier emblem, and of course what we sent him, which was the what would Cap do challenge coin.
Right.
Yeah. So James, tell us. Why did you become a patron? Why did you decide to fork over your hard earned cash to support the show?
Really, to show you guys support. I mean, I've been a fan of the group since you invited me into the Cap Facebook group a while ago. I don't even want to guess how far back, but I know we were in the low hundreds when I joined. Mm-hmm. And I've been a member since and fairly active. I'm on there probably 3-4 times a day, checking stuff out and putting comments when it's appropriate. And I can was the first one to make a comment when you guys launched the first podcast on iTunes. Have been a fan of you guys since you started the podcast. I've appreciated it. Give feedback on the Facebook page when you make a post about the fact that you've done it. I try and say what I liked about the episode or whatnot. And then when you opened up the Patreon thing, you know, I felt like it was something I could do to support, just even if it's buying you guys a cup of coffee each or whatever. I just feel like being able to support the idea y'all and how much your love of Captain America just makes my Wednesday every morning when I'm driving into work a little bit better.
We appreciate that. Yeah, that's very thoughtful. And you are. You've been a patron, one of our longtime patrons. And so, you know, we...
I was number two.
Yes, yes.
Somebody beat me to it.
We'll give a little shout out to Grant.
I think that was...
Grant,
was that Grant or me?
Yeah. And just so everybody knows, we are... some people call it a not-for-profit. That's not us. We're a non-profit.
So negative profit.
Yes. Well, we, you know, Bob and I don't, make any money on this deal, but we do appreciate you and all our other patrons who help chip in to help cover our expenses. And, you know, I'll put a plug in. If you are interested in showing your support, you can go to our website, which is CaptainAmericaComicBookFans.com. And there's a place on there at the bottom of the page to get more information about how you could support the show. There's another level that you can do called the Shield Slinger level. And if you do that and you're on for at least 3 months, you will send you what would Cap do challenge coin as well. So, but super soldiers get to be on the show and they get to pick the topic. Now, we have been doing this series of The Captain by Mark Gruenwald, right? We started this in episode 70 and we did The Road to the Captain, which was introducing John Walker, Super Patriot. We started there with issue 327. And each one of these episodes, we do three issues. And we're doing that all the way up to issue 350. So we're almost there in the series. But if you want to go back and listen to them, episode 70, 74, 79, 83, 87, they are all part of this. And if you're paying attention, you're playing at home, we do the first Wednesday of every month is our guest, our interview. Our second Wednesday has been this Captain series. So, so here you are. And we've got two more to go after this, but there's so much to cover today. So James reached out and he said, well, listen, if I'm going to be on a show, I want to be on this one because it's covering 342 to 344. Tell us why, James.
So when I first started reading Cap as a youngin, there were a few different starting points, if you will. I picked up a couple from, you know, the local convenience store, stuff like that. Never had a comic book shop anywhere near me when I was a kid. Everything was picked up at convenience stores, just off the spinner racks. So when I got to 340, the one with the Fall of the Mutants tie-in?
Mm-hmm.
That was the first one I remember actually getting, and then I missed one, and then I got 342, and my 12-year-old heart just fell in love with Vagabond for a minute, until Diamondback stole it.
Whoa. Not Viper?
I didn't get the green hair, man.
Bob likes Viper.
I was in North Florida.
All right, we ran in different circles.
Green hair was... the eggplant was enough. But then also I remember 344 with the Ronald Reagan on the cover and my dad being very excited about what was I reading and having a conversation. One of the first comic books I ever had a conversation with him about, because he was trying to figure out why Captain America was going up against the president. So, and I got to tell him about it. It was kind of a moment.
Did you start the conversation with dad? Well,
no, not in that house.
No, okay. well, that's cool. All right. Well, you know, to check out James Foley's Secret Origin, go to episode 25. We talked about a lot of how he broke into being a Cap fan. Question on my mind is, you have Captain America issue 100 to now, and then you had Tales of Suspense 58 through 99. You're missing two issues. You said the Red Skull issues. Any luck since, really?
Nope.
All right.
I've got one Captain America comics from the World War II books. I've got number 25.
Nice.
So that's my baby.
One more than me.
But I still am missing those two Red Skulls. And I could get them off eBay or something like that. It's the thrill of the hunt.
I know, right? Like, I could have finished Cap many years before, and I just kept putting it off and putting it off. I was like, yeah, but if I do, what am I going to do? And then I told you 5 years ago, right, I finished everything off, and I'm like, well, I can go Golden Age. I can go Original Art. Both are equally expensive. I went Original Art, and it's a bit of monkey on my back.
So So I also tried to get Avengers, Iron Man, and Mighty Thor. So those have been the other ones I've been running in sequence with.
Oh, very like the whole series?
Yeah, so I'm missing six Avengers to go one through today.
Wow, I'm missing, that's impressive.
Of course, it's 1, 2, 3, 4.
Of course.
The Kang issue, and then the 11 with Spider-Man. But then Thor, I've got a big chunk of them still to go. And Iron Man, I don't know what off the top of my head, but it's six sporadic ones, obviously one of them being the Thanos first appearance.
Of course. Well, that's the beauty of finishing your Tales of Suspense collection, right? Because you're like, hey, I've got all the Caps, I've got all the Iron Mans. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, but then I have to go backwards and get all the Iron Mans all the way back to 36, and that's going to get expensive.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the danger of being a collector like us, right?
It is. It absolutely is.
All right.
But there's always something else out there.
There's always something else. Always. All right, so let's get to this. Now we kicked off the new format of the series, of the podcast series, where we, you know, just some based on feedback, not to do it panel by panel. However, for this Captain series, we're going to continue with the old format because that's what we've been doing. So we're going to finish it out that way. So buckle in, folks, because we have 84 pages of comics that we have to go through. And so we're going to have to really work on that. And then the other thing that we're starting now, just to have some fun, is at the end, we're going to all give which was our favorite panel from these three issues. What did we feel is t-shirt worthy? Get that man a t-shirt, right, Bob?
Get that man a t-shirt.
And then what do we
want? I know somebody.
And then what are we going to put in the time capsule? Something that, you know, like when you read this, like, oh, that really captures when this was written. So keep that in mind. And we can even maybe talk about it as we are going through these.
Okay.
All right. So let's get to issue number 342. Now, this had a cover date of June 1988. Just going to put this out there. That's the when I graduated high school.
I was 12.
I was at OCS. So
we're representing a lot here. All right.
Yeah. Heart knee deep in it at OCS, getting yelled at.
God bless you.
June 1988.
The solicitation for this issue says the Black Panthers got a gift for the new Cap, a new shield. And when Cap uses the shield to go after the guys invading the Serpent Society's headquarters, well, everybody had better watch out. Who the hell wrote that solicitation? That was lame.
Especially when the Black Panther's only in like two panels.
Yeah. All right. Who's the creators for this? Well, we talked about Mark Gruenwald before being the writer, and we talked about Kieran Dwyer, the penciler. Inker is Al Milgram. And we had Al on the show, so if you get a chance, check it out, episode 73, and a great conversation with Al about his time on the Cap series and a bunch of other things as well. Colorist was Bob Sharon, also another person we had on the show way back in episode 5, if you want to check that out. Bob's an amazing colorist. Letterer, John Morelli, and editor, Ralph Macchio. Wax on.
Gets me every time.
All right. On the cover here, Bob, why don't you describe the cover? Because it's got Viper, right? We know you love Viper.
Yeah, it's got, there we go. All right. So yes, it does have Viper. And I want to spend all my time, quite frankly, talking about Viper. Because you know, Rick, that she has a special place in my heart. So here's Viper in all her glory, in her green skin-tight bodysuit with a, you know, I believe those are cross-holstered pistols, and her arm raised to the gods with a a cobra actually wrapped around her entire arm. So she's looking really, really good. And then, of course, you know, we've got a bunch of bit players behind her throughout the cover, you know. So I think that's probably what Falcon and Nomad, and there's D-Man and fighting one of the, what's her name?
Anaconda.
Yeah. Yeah. Anaconda.
She got back.
Yeah. She does have, yeah. She's larger than the D-Man in this particular matchup. Yes. So it's kind of a nice cover. And then, of course, we've got Cap sort of almost transparent, a profile in the background. It's a great cover. I love this cover. This is one of my favorite mm-hmm. covers from the 80s. And I think largely because of Viper. I would love to have this statue. If it was out there, you know, quarter scale, I would sit right here and pride a place in my office. Alas, I would also be divorced. So
I would have a do not disturb sign.
Probably have a do not disturb sign as well. Yes.
All right. So what's the title to this issue, Bob?
Captain America. A Viper in our midst.
I don't think so, Bob. No, that's the cover. That's the cover. What's the title? You have to actually turn the page, Bob.
Okay. Well, I thought we were still doing the cover, Rick.
I said, what's the title to this issue, Bob?
Okay. Okay. Okay, Rick. All right. The Snake Pit.
Was that so hard?
I didn't want to leave the cover yet. So.
Look at that first page.
Yeah. How did you not want to get to the first page?
That is a very unique, interesting action pose that you are really missing out on by not flipping over the page.
I know. Look how D-Man's flying. You're absolutely right, James.
That is the first thing my 12-year-old mind went right to. Mm-hmm.
I don't know how this got approved by the Comics Code Authority.
I have
but,
no idea.
I know. The way he's got his mask off, it's just...
expression.
Okay, so for those who don't have this open at home, we already know this is going to be t-shirt worthy for James, but this... but
three more pages.
All right, you're gonna snipe me already? We haven't even gotten to the page yet. You're gonna snipe me?
There's all multiple right. ones. Go ahead.
All right. All right, so we got Vagabond here, Priscilla, I think her name is.
Mm-hmm.
She's on her back, kind of shoulder, and she's got her legs up in the air. She's almost like in a sitting position, but she's kind of rolling on her back, and her feet are in the air, and she's tossing Dennis Stumpy, D-Man, away, and she yells,
hold on, folks. Rick's got to put on his reading glasses.
You asked for a D-Man, and he's getting tossed. Now, does anybody want to describe what she's wearing or not wearing?
You take it, James. You take it, buddy.
She is wearing a red and white striped one piece bathing suit with a blue halter top. With spaghetti straps falling off of her top. And the angle is in a downward direction. So you are seeing quite a bit of the one piece bathing suit.
I noticed you forgot to mention the gloves.
And boots.
She has gloves? Oh, yeah, there they are.
The domino mask. I mean, there are so many other pieces here.
Now that you mention it.
But when you say it's zooming in on one piece, which piece of the suit are you referring to, James?
It is zooming in on the, it's not even her posterior. It's the front of her, between her legs, yeah. Coming into her a unique angle.
I think that's technically the technical term is taint.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe so.
I was going to go with crotch, but okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. You know, that works too, I guess. Yeah.
All right. So Kira Dwyer, and it's almost in the exact middle of the panel. It's like you can't miss it. So yeah, you were 12, I was 17. Yeah, I think we all looked at this and we're like, what?
Mm-hmm. I'll take two.
It was interesting.
All right. And basically, I'll go ahead and read the panel now that we've gotten through the image. Yes, sir.
On a small estate nestled comfortably in the Santa Monica Mountains outside Los Angeles, a man and a woman work up a sweat under the midday sun. And again, he's being tossed, right? And then next panel, and they're by the pool, right, in the backyard of this resort, or his house, his mansion, I should say. And he's pretty smooth, vagabond. Hey, how'd you recover so fast? I used to make a living with this rustling stuff, remember? Whoa! Try a scissors lock around his neck. And she jumps up, and he grabs her. Uh-uh. I saw that one coming, pretty lady. Oh, darn. And that leaves you vulnerable to a body slam. Let's see you wiggle out from under 250 pounds of muscle. And he does. He grabs her, but he's like a TV wrestler, right? So he's not hurting her. He's got her held in such a way that his arms are kind of taking much of the weight. And it makes a loud noise, Bob. Think I can't, huh? What if I find out you're ticklish? And she does starts tickling his ribs. Vagabond, now that's not a legitimate wrestling move. And then just then, we got Nomad, Jack Barnes. No.
Jack Monroe. Nomad,
Jack Monroe coming through the door. Now, he's only got like half his costume on, but I would say pretty much apropos a wife beater t-shirt on.
Yeah.
Right? And he's like, hey, Priscilla, what's the devil going on here?
I know, Mad. I was just showing your friend here some wrestling holds.
Oh, Jack. I'll bet you were, bonehead. What are you going to do with that stun disc? And Jack takes one of his Nomad stun discs and hits him in the head. And he falls down, grabbing his head. Jack Monroe, what is the matter with you? That big bald dweeb was asking for it. And hey, if he can't dodge one of my stun discs, how's he supposed to dodge the bad guy's bullets? Dennis was only teaching me some fighting moves, something you've promised to do ever since I hooked up with you and never got around to. You want to see some fighting moves, doll? I'll show you some. Let's go, Big D. And he throws a punch, but Dennis ducks. I don't care if you can lift a truck. I'm taking you down.
Let's not do this, Jack. I'm sorry if I was out of line. I really wasn't trying to mess around with your woman. I swear.
Swear at this, jerk. And he kicks him in the solar plexus. And then Priscilla grabs Jack and she tosses him in the pool. You need to cool off. What? Priscilla, whoa! And a splash. What?
I love your whoa!
I was waiting for Bob to do the sound effect.
I was just mesmerized.
James, we'd be waiting a long time. If I don't prompt him, if I don't pause, if I don't give him a look, nothing.
He's a Marine. Come on.
You're right.
It's required.
He can't do anything without being told what to do.
I tell you, when Rick gets on a roll, you don't want to get in the way. I don't want to interrupt the it's artistry in action.
This is true. It is irritating to listen.
You don't want to upset the apple cart.
So Jack's pulling himself out of the pool. Cute. Real cute. I sure have to admire a guy who lets a chick do his fighting for him. As for you, Pris, as far as I'm concerned, you and I are. What's that noise?
Supervillains in my backyard?
It's a UFO. If this is another lousy trick of yours, D-Man.
But then
we see Steve Rogers in his captain uniform, and he comes out through the door and he says, relax, troops. And then he, and then this is, as I've always said, I'm a sucker for whenever you see a character doing a motion and you see them in the same panel multiple times, you get to see them moving and jumping and everything. Love that. And Kieran Dwyer nails it here. As Steve comes out, he does a somersault onto the roof, and then he jumps off of the roof onto the diving board, and then from the diving board up into the aircraft. And he says, "Relax, troops. This baby's mine." Go ahead, James.
So this would be a great panel for a t-shirt, Rick.
So it's your it's 11, t-shirt worthy?
11 captains all on the same panel. Mm-hmm. That is just spectacular.
So it's t-shirt worthy, is what you're saying?
I think it's t-shirt worthy.
Really? Because it's, to me, it's my favorite panel. So we're okay. And so yes, he gets up onto that, and Jack, he's like, "What's Cap think he's doing? Cutting us out of the action. Where's the Falcon? Things in the sky are up his alley. Who in the world has a ship like that? It's not an Avengers Quinjet. The portal's opening. We better find Falk and get suited up in case Cap needs our help. Who died and left you in charge, dud man?" So Steve gets into the ship and he sees the pilot and aide. They're Wakandians. "Sorry for the midair intercept, but it didn't look like you had room to land this thing without blowing out a window or trampling the flowers. Our liege sends his regrets that he could not be here in person, Captain. I am Kabali, and this is Madaka. Pleased to meet you. If you would come to the monitor, our liege would have words with you via satellite." "Certainly." And then we have T'Challa in his Black Panther costume on the video console. "The Black Panther bids you well, Steve Rogers. Good to see you, T'Challa. I am sorry. Affairs of state make it impossible for me to be there in person, my friend. I understand. Kabali, the package." And then out of the package comes a new shield for the captain. Mm-hmm. And so it's shaped and has the rings and inner circle like Cap's old shield, but the coloring is different. James, you want to take this one?
Sure. It's a obviously it's a round shield, a black small circle, then a white ring, then a red ring, and then another black circle.
It's a sharp looking shield.
It is.
"We did the best we could without knowing its exact specifications. I hope it is suitable. It feels great. I am in your debt, T'Challa." "Nonsense. Consider it a gift from the King of Wakanda to an honored ambassador of America." And Cap looks a little lamenting here. "I have no official status with my country anymore, T'Challa. My government gave my name, uniform, and shield to another man when I refused to become their glorified civil servant. I did not mean to offend. No offense taken, old friend. If there is anything else I can do to aid a noble ally in this time of adversity, you have only to name it. Farewell." And he signs off. "Only the finest grade of vibranium was used to make. Excuse me. Do you hear someone knocking?" "I wasn't paying attention to the radar. Someone's atop the ship. I think I know who." And comes in the Falcon. Mm-hmm. "Kabali, Madaka, this is my friend, the Falcon. A pleasure to meet you. Sorry to drop in unannounced, Cap, but something big just came out over your hotline. That snake crook, Diamondback, called claiming the Serpent Society is under attack. Must be desperate if she's willing to call an enemy for help. I wish to ask you for one more favor of you, Kabali. A ride across this country. At your service, honored friend of our liege. Falcon, let's mobilize the others." Meanwhile, in the upstate New York headquarters of the criminal trade union known as the Serpent Society. So we cut back to where we left off in the last issue, and we have Diamondback, Rachel. She's looking at the monitor as the Viper and her allies are taking over the Serpent Society. James, do you want to maybe describe what the 12-year-old's looking at here?
A girl with very pink hair, later called Eggplant, in a black, again, one piece, almost like swimsuit leotard, with very 80s warm-up socks and tennis shoes.
I feel like a need to, like, I don't know, like jazzercise or something.
Absolutely.
Let's get physical. Of course, that was like, you know, 8 years earlier.
Well, whatever. Right? Still a goodie.
Rick, if I could make one comment too, before we go past the point with the talk about the new shield, I found it interesting that when you talk about Cap Shield, the original was like an adamantium vibranium mixture. Mm-hmm. Iron Man makes him that shield that was all adamantium, and now Black Panther makes him one that's all vibranium.
It is interesting. That's a good catch by you. Yeah, the original shield is a vibranium adamantium alloy mix.
Right.
And no one knows how it was done. Although, if you've read the first issue of Captain America Sentinel of Liberty that came out last month, apparently the shield is a big deal. And that's going to be a big part of the story coming up. Mm-hmm. And if you listen to last episode, our interview with Jackson Lansing and Colin Kelly, they talked about that a little bit. So if you haven't heard that, check that out. That will get into Cap's shield.
Okay.
My boss Sidewinder still semi-conscious from the venom someone injected in him. And for all I know, Captain America doesn't make house calls anymore. It's only a matter of time before I'm...
Shut!
Time's up! And coming through the door is this Talon, right? That's just ripping through the door, expecting it to be like, here's Johnny! But... Sidewinder. How's that antitoxin I gave you doing? Sir, you really should get up. We may have to use that teleportation cloak of yours again. And she's looking at Sidewinder, who's in his civilian outfit, and he's unconscious. And then here comes another Talon through the door. Sir! Uh-oh, I recognize that hand and claw. Sidewinder, if you don't get it together, this society and you are doomed. Don't know about you, but this gig is the best I ever had, and I'm letting any roomies ruin it. And then she breaks through the door. Who is it?
Fertilance.
Thank you. So Fertilance comes through, and she's like, aha, so there you two are, cowering in this communications room. Our orders are to eliminate El Jefe. If you surrender, Diamondback, you will not come to harm. I believe that, like I believe in Santa Claus. What does she mean by that?
Pretty sure they're going to come to harm.
Just carry on, Rick. You don't need to know.
All right. And then she thinks, and she throws a couple of throwing diamonds. To think that not 2 hours ago, I was trying to make friends with that Talon turncoat. Better make these shots count. And one misses and the other one gets reflected. I'm in short supply of these throwing diamonds. You missed. I won't. But she does. Can I quote you on that, Ferdy? Idiota. No habla español, estúpida. All right. Now, she's ducking there, James. I don't know if the 12-year-old James noticed how she's ducking there.
I do, but
it's a well-placed heel.
It is a well-placed heel.
It is very well-placed heel. but there's other things on the page that took that 12-year-old's attention.
Yeah, bless you, Kieran Dwyer. Bless you.
Absolutely.
And while you're off balance, I'd like you to meet my sidekick. And she kicks her in the back of the head, which then makes her go into the control panel with her Talon. And what happens? She gets electrocuted.
Mm-hmm.
Eeps, I didn't plan for that. And then she says, sure hope she isn't. What? And then there's like a whip crack above her head making a sound, Bob.
Oh, Rick, you caught me at a time when my computer had to reboot the page.
Likely story. Thank you, James. And then we have
just think Indiana Jones.
Oh, here we go. All right.
And then we have standing there a new one, Coach Whip's the name. Flying. Oh, hold on.
Flaying.
I'm getting there.
It's a flaying. Sorry. It's a flaying fish. Oh. A flaying flesh.
Sorry, I was flustered.
We all were there.
Coach Whip's the name. And I don't believe in clothes.
Nope.
Flaying flesh is my game. So who wants to describe her outfit?
Rick, you know, she has a lovely
long boots.
Very, very long gold boots that go all the way up to her upper thighs, mm-hmm. with some black trim. She's got long gold gloves that match, that go up to her upper mid arm again with black trim. And then she's mm-hmm. got this golden, I don't know what the technical term of that is. Is that some sort of
bodysuit?
That doesn't really, I mean, it's a very minimalistic bodysuit, right? It basically covers the crotchal area with a bodice and again with some black straps going over their shoulders and a black headband. It's quite striking.
Do you think she does that so that everybody just kind of stands there with their mouth open so she could just whip them easier?
Yes, I was. 12-year-old me would have been flaying my flesh for sure.
Whip it real good. Okay, sides, no ifs, ands, and buts. We got to cloak out of here now. If I can't dope out the circuits on this thing, we're snake meat. And so she runs over to him, and then just as they're teleporting away, the whip misses them. But where do they teleport to? It's just outside the compound, and they end up going into a pond. And there's a big sploosh. And then she comes up gasping for air, pulling Sidewinder with her. We made it. I didn't make us materialize inside a wall. Dare not risk using that stupid cape of his again now that the circuits are all soggy. I got us out of this, mister. You're going to owe me a bonus you won't believe. 2 hours later, we cut to the Wakanda flying craft. We are almost over New York State, Captain. Where do you wish us to land? That was very Irish. What the hell is that?
Top of the morning, Captain.
Let me do this.
Got again. Nothing.
We're almost over New York State, Captain. Where do you wish us to land? Don't know yet, Madaka. I'm still awaiting further instructions. I will proceed due east then. And then Falcon's there thinking, one of Mark Grunewald's famous thought balloons.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder what's eating the two lovebirds. They haven't said a word to each other the whole trip. What if the snake woman doesn't make a follow-up call? Then we'll simply have to wait. My operators are transmitting something. Yes, this is it. And it says, Cap, Sidewinder, and I will be at Fred's gas station, junction of Highway 93 and Route N. Interesting. Diamondback. Madaka, I have our destination. And then there's a, looks like a really beaten down gas station, and the Wakanda aircraft lands. Just let us out here, Madaka, and you could be off. As you say, Captain. And they do the takeoff. And then there's our crew. We got Steve, we got Jack, we got Dennis, we got Sam, and we got Priscilla and Red Wing. Cap, any chance this is a trap? Every chance. Okay, fan out. And he gets inside and he thinks to himself, no sign of anyone. If I don't get a crack at those slippery serpents out of this, I'm going to be sorely disappointed. And then there's a throwing diamond being thrown at the back of Steve's head, but he turns just in time to put the shield up. Diamond back. Ka-ching. Cap, it is you. I just had to make sure. What's with the black costume? It's a long story. Let's get down to business first. Sure. You know, you don't know how glad I am you got my message. those people with you, are they the Avengers? No, my hand-picked commandos. Where's Sidewinder? So this is what he looks like under the mask. Yeah, he was poisoned by I don't know who, like a rival snake gang invaded our citadel, barely managed to get us out. I gave him antitoxin, but he's still pretty out of it. Called an ambulance? No, I didn't want to call attention. What are we here? And then the commandos found the gas attendant who was, I guess, tied up in the back. And what's Jack thinking to himself? Hot babe, an old flame of caps? Found this guy tied up out back. Ick, what color is her hair? Eggplant? Diamondback. He panicked when he saw us. I could have killed him, but I didn't. You know, you have a long way to go before you've earned my trust. Yeah. Sorry about this, fella. We'll be out of your hair soon. Vagabond, you'll remain here and accompany Sidewinder to the hospital. Sure. The rest of us will storm Serpent Citadel as soon as Diamondback tells us where it is. 15 minutes later. There's all sorts of perimeter defenses, but since I know where they all are, we'll be able to bypass them. Okay, Diamondback, take the lead. D-Man, the rear. Let's go. God, what a hunk. He's so commanding. And then Jack thinks to himself, this Diamondback is quite a cutie. Guess all snake chicks aren't as vile as that viper broad I first fought as Nomad. When did that happen?
I think that was way back in issue 282.
Here's an interesting fact. Are you ready for this?
I would love one.
All right. So Viper, this issue, 342. Viper was first introduced in Captain America 110 back in February of 1969. So here it is almost 20 years later, and it's only the 23rd appearance of Viper. In like almost 20 years. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's 23rd?
Crazy. Yeah.
23rd
appearance in almost 20 years. And most of them were in Captain America. Because mm-hmm. She was in Cap 110, 11, and 13.
Right.
Durango
right.
issues. Then in 1974-75, she was in issue 180, 181, and 182. Now, get this. Her next appearance in Captain America, she goes from 181, 182 to Captain America 281 and 282. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, almost like it was planned.
Almost. And 283 as well. But, you know, anyway.
I love her. She's a great villain, Rick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not only is she appealing aesthetically, but she's crazy as a cat. Love her. And she'll go on to appear in a lot more comics mm-hmm. throughout yeah. the next decades.
That's true. Yeah.
I always love seeing her.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's just me. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think we all appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Didn't she make our top 10 cap villains?
She did. She did, indeed.
Yes. And if anybody wants to listen to the top 10 villains not named Red Skull, that would be episode number 9.
Wasn't she my pick? I'd have to go back and listen.
James. I can't remember all this stuff. I remember a lot of stupid things, but I can't remember who did what.
Mm-hmm. That was mine. No offense. I'll go back and look. I don't remember.
So D-Man thinks to himself, sure hope I have a chance to redeem myself for my poor showing against that Superwoman. And that was 2 issues ago where he got afraid of Titania. Meanwhile, inside the Citadel. So we have Viper. She's got her crew torturing a couple of the other serpents. And then there's a couple more in the jail cell. And then, look at that. There's Coach Whip. Bushmaster, Black Mamba, you have only to renounce your loyalty to Sidewinder, and I shall set you free. Join with me as some of your fellows have, and I will let you share in my world conquest. And then we have Bushmaster. Now, Bushmaster, he doesn't have any legs. He has like a bionic tail, and he actually is like a big snake, but he has arms and a head. And he's being, you know, tied to this torture device. And he's like, go stuff yourself, Viper. Puff at it. While you're keeping that tail of his from thrashing about, see what you can do about his tongue.
You got it, Vipes.
And then we have Black Mamba. Now, what's Black Mamba wearing?
Well, surprise, surprise, Rick. It's another jazzercise bodysuit, but this time all in black with, of course, black boots, you know. But there's a trend, apparently.
You're a fool to think you can run the society as smoothly as Sightwander did. The man was a business genius. And you, woman, are a fool. And she thinks, Black Mama thinks to herself, I keep trying to pluck an image of someone she loves from Viper's mind so I can use my power against her. But there isn't any. She loves no one or anything or nothing. It is obvious I shall never persuade you, Mamba. You were Sightwander's woman. And whose woman are you? A maggot's? Let's hear your witticisms now. And she bites her neck like a vampire. Mm-hmm. And then she goes over to the other one. Don't worry, I haven't forgot about you, legless freak. And she bites him. You have less than an hour to change your minds about joining me. Then you'll be dead. Come, Slither. Puff at her. Coach Whip, take them off the rack and prepare the last two. So someone describe Slither for me.
Slither is a animal type, anamorphic, I guess. So he's got a snake head, long neck. He does have arms and legs, but they are out of proportion for what someone would normally have. And he's crawling on his hands and knees as he follows behind her.
A very long tongue.
Mm-hmm. All right. So then we cut to this area, I guess the hangar where the ships are. And there's a truck there with a bunch of canisters. And Anaconda is unloading this, and they're all like putting these in various snake vessels.
Snake ships?
Yeah. What's in this stupid cans anyway, Rattler? Snake milk? I don't know. Some sort of venom, I guess. Hey, Anaconda, if you're so curious, why not ask our new boss? Here she comes. Copperhead, as soon as you're finished loading, take Cobra and Boomslang and proceed to this dispersal point I briefed you about. Black Racer, I want you to search the hospitals in the vicinity. We have to be certain Sidewinder wasn't taken to any of them for treatment. You got it. The rest of you, aid the launch of this garishly designed craft. And then Black Racer goes off. Now, Black Racer, for those who don't remember from previous issues, she is just a very, very fast. That's her speed. She runs really fast.
What was that?
Sounded like somebody running by at 100 miles an hour. At least it was too dark to see us. Probably that Black Racer broad we met in Vegas. A serpent saucer is taking off. I know where that ship took off from. Come on. Let's make this one, people. And they go underneath a closing hangar door. No sweat. The Anaconda. I've tangled with her before. Back in Cap 310. Mm-hmm. Who the bloody heck are you, jerks? Anaconda, you're free. Look, I brought help. You did you? That sure looks like the Falcon, one of the Avengers, and that stooge with the stripes. They're here to help us repel the invasion. Whoever's out there thinks Anna's alone. Let's take them. No need for help, Daimy. Invasion's over, and our side won. What? She's lunging for me. And up there, Rock Python and the Rattler. And the Rattler's got like this motion coming out of his tail, kind of like a vibration thing. And Cap puts up his shield. The Rattler, vibrating his tail. Look out below. Come to mama, you dim little bim. And Anaconda has those arms that can just kind of like, you know, wrap, you know, kind of like an anaconda snake, and goes around her neck and pulls her close. "You do anything funny, Stripes, and I'll squeeze her like an overripe tomato. Dumb, dumb, dumb. I let her get me." And then Jack sees one of the snake villains up on the top. "Some kind of steel ribbon snaking around my legs. Got to take that sucker down." And he throws a stun disc and hits him. And then Sam's getting hit by the Rattler. "Feel like I'm being shaken apart. Red Wing, distract him." "E-Man, free Diamondback, and follow me as soon as you can. I'm going to check out the rest of this place." "Huh? Oh, sure." And on his way out, he hits Anaconda in the back of the head with his shield. And Diamondback's, "Cap? He left me without a word." "Okay, here's my chance to redeem myself. Just try one of my old wrestling moves." "Haha, quite a grip you got there, Sonny. Want to bet mine's stronger? Now you can come to Mama, too." And is crushing the breath out of me. "One chance, my acid tip throwing diamond." And she pricks her with it. No! She let go. And just then, D-Man flips her. "She's all yours, Big D. You're not ditching me that easily, Cap." And she goes chasing after where Steve ran. Falcon comes up and kicks one of the guys. Got him. But then the one that Jack hit with the stun disc is down on the ground. And then Jack's on top of him. "Oh, did I accidentally smash your face with my stun disc? I'm sorry. What's that? I did it again? Oh, my." So then Steve's running around room to room. The rest of them have to be in one of these rooms. Let's see. Who's not been accounted for? The Cobra? The Asp? Bushmaster? Cottonmouth? Black Mamba? Plus the four we encountered in Las Vegas. Copperhead? Ferdinand's, Puff Adder. And he comes across Puff Adder, who's in a room just hanging out. And it's, how would you describe the room, guys?
So I found it neat, the fact that it has spa on the door, but then you go in there and it's like a running waterfall with like some vegetation, snakes hanging off of tree branches, other snakes crawling around, crawling into the pool. So I don't know how they do their relaxation. That would flip me out.
Not my idea of relaxing.
"Can a guy take a break in peace? What? You, the do-gooder in Vegas. Nice to be remembered, fella." And he throws the shield and knocks him into the pond. "This shield doesn't have quite the same rebound as my original. I'll have to compensate for that." And Puff Adder apparently can't swim, because he's there, glub, 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 snakes filled with blue. And then just then, Cap turns and he's about to strike, but it's Diamondback. "Whoa, chill out. I'm on your side, remember?" "Just a reflex. Let's go." So that's it. Puff Adder's done. He falls into, he gets a little, that's a secret, you know, Achilles. He gets wet.
Yeah. Glub, glub, glub.
So they're running up the stairs. "Wasn't very gentlemanly of you to ditch me the way you did. Anaconda might have killed me." "I had perfect confidence in D-Man's ability to free you. And any idea where this ringleader of this raid might be?" "Soon." And he breaks into a room, and there's Viper and Slither. This is in the torture room that they were before. "Diamondback guessed right. And as I suspected, the Viper is behind this." "Who?" "Captain America. And the deadly Diamondback, Green Jeans." And Slither says, "Mistress." Coach Whip is like, "What? Get him, Slither. Get him." Of course, every time she says that, I want to be like Mr. Burns. "Get him, Smithers. Get him." Yep. "Excellent. Slither, huh? I met this character before." When did he meet him before?
That was in Cap Annual number 4, Rick. I'm surprised you don't remember.
You have to cover that one of these days.
Let's do that.
Yeah. That was the written and drawn by Jack Kirby. And it was Magneto's new Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. And Slither was one of them.
Perfect.
And then Viper thinks to herself, what is he doing here? I must escape to coordinate my Eden project. Oh, and Diamondback's got a funny. She says, okay, coach, prepare to get miracle whipped.
Product placement, folks.
And she throws the diamond as she's jumping out of the cracked whip, and it goes over her head. She goes, missed me, babe. Wasn't aiming for you, chickie. And the projectile snapped open the mandible. And then just then, Slither jumps on top of Cap's shield. I strongly advise you to let go. And he hears the whip cracking behind him, and he turns, and the whip gets Slither. Ah! You can't say I didn't warn you. No time for delicacy. The Viper's getting away. And he throws his shield and knocks out Coach Whip. Should have had you. And then Diamondback goes over to finish the job, releasing her friend. Should have you out of there in a sec, cottonmouth old boy. Diamondback, no! And then, oh, that is like the scariest thing, right?
That is, yeah.
Okay.
That's a cool panel.
Cottonmouths could stretch their mouths to go, a lot of snakes can stretch their mouths, but this one is, he's opening up his mouth to be larger than her head. And then venom is dripping off the top fangs. That is so disgustingly scary.
Yeah.
And he's about to get her, but she jumps out of the way. You slime ball, you sold out to that witch too? And Cap thinks he gets his shield. Cottonmouth's loose. Hope your dental coverage is paid up, mister. And he nails him right in the mouth. And Diamondback, oh, and by the way, did anybody notice that he didn't snap her head, but one of the straps holding up the top of her outfit?
Mm-hmm.
James has got the biggest smile on his face right now.
So while I was reading it, I noted the fact that how many times they drew it with the strap tied in a little knot later on. Huh. So she comes up with a magic costume. So if you look for continuity, I got a kick out of the fact that Ken paid attention and actually tied it back together. But right now she's just kind of holding it up.
Good research, James.
Yeah, come on. It was just him watching to see if that strap was still down so that he, you know, maybe it'll fall. He's like, damn, it's tied. He wasn't trying to be continuity. Yeah, damn it.
That's a researcher right there. Scholar.
So she is. She's holding it up right now. And we got a little side boob action going here.
We do, yeah.
You don't look so hot, Aspie. Viper poisoned me. Wouldn't submit. Get antitoxin. Quick. Bushmaster. Black Mamba. May already be dead. Do them first. Look at that. You know? Even amongst villains.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Glad to see I wasn't the only one who remained loyal to Sidewinder. I can't believe how many people betrayed him. Whatever happened to honor among thieves? And Cap thinks to himself, Cottonmouth isn't going anywhere. Now to bind. Slither is gone. Cap, help me. They're dying from snake bites. Once again, forced to choose between saving lives or apprehending felons. Where's the antitoxin? Diamondback says the pharmacy is just down the hall. Falcon. There you are, Cap. I've been looking all over for you. My old nemesis, the Viper, is the instigator of all of this. She escaped. You haven't seen a woman in green? Nope. How about a loose-limbed fellow with a snake's head? Nope, haven't seen him either. And where is he? He's on the back of D-Man, about to bite his head. And Jack's running away. I'm going to go find... Huh? What hole did that freak pop out of? Ha! If D-Man expects me to save his butt after the way he muscled in on my chick, he can go kiss up a rope. What the hell does that mean?
The saying is piss up a rope. But it obviously is. They couldn't say that one.
Ah, all right. on the other hand, and he gets his stun discs and jumps up behind Slither, and he hits him in the temples on both sides. I get my jollies showing that muscle-bound cloud up. And then 17 miles away, there is an ambulance with the siren going, and Black Racer shows up. An ambulance. Might it be? Yes, it's him. She breaks open. And there's Priscilla over top of Sidewinder in the back of the ambulance. I think that's one of the snakes. And Black Racer's like, unlatch this gurney and push off. Oh, no, you don't. Who's she? Whoa! And the gurney goes out into the road as they're driving. And it's like an 80s sitcom. Yeah, right? Or like an 80s comedy movie or something like this, right? And so the gurney goes out into the road and Black Racer's on top of Sidewinder. Priscilla's on top of Black Racer. Must be going 60 miles an hour. Got to make her let go. And then they topple. I did it. And she lands on top of Black Racer to help break her fall. And she's, oh, wow. Got her to let go and take the brunt of the fall. And D-Man said tickling wasn't a legitimate technique. Serpent Citadel, 5 minutes later. And there's Rachel standing over top of her fallen comrades who are all recovering from the toxin. Well, we got them the antidote, though it remains to be seen if we got it to them soon enough. No sign of the Viper anywhere, but Nomad and D-Man did manage to get that really sneaky guy. This is not good. We may have managed to capture more serpents than ever before, but the worst of the bunch has gotten away. And if I know the Viper, this little raid was just a prelude to something really sinister. To be continued. All right, moving on to issue 343. This one, here's a solicitation. You guys ready for this?
Yep.
The Captain, D-Man, and the Falcon, and Nomad versus the Viper, and her legions, and the new Captain America and Battlestar versus the most dangerous mutant force since the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, the Radical Mutant Liberation Front called the Resistance. Holy crap, that is a one big long run-on sentence. They're violently opposed to registration of mutants, and wait till you see how violent. All right.
They were really third string characters.
So this one has a cover date of July 1988 and same creative team as before. Mm-hmm. On the cover here, we have the new Captain America and Battlestar battling this group that we've never seen before. And it says routed by the Resistance. And they're on a floating boulder, and there's these four characters, and they're all wearing yellow and blue costumes with like yellow helmets, and they have big R's on their chests. And we have them firing on Cap and Battlestar, who have their shields to protect them, but they are falling in the sky. So they're up in the sky. The blue sky with white clouds, so it looks like they're up pretty high, and Cap and Battlestar looks like they're falling to their doom. 75 cents is what got you this issue, guys.
It's a good deal.
Yep, I'm sure I paid it.
Cleveland, Ohio is but one of the thousands of American cities where the new Captain America and Battlestar wage war on the nation's enemies. Look sharp, Cappy. Our playmate's shedding. And it looks like he's got pretty good aim. And this one's titled
Slippery People.
And there's all these like brown, looks like almost like porcupine things, you know, like if they're quills, battling the porcupine. Yeah, quills. Thank you. Yeah. That's a good word.
Yeah.
And that's what it looks like it's coming at them, but their shields are protecting them. And they're in an alleyway. And here's this character who looks like a porcupine. he's got his shirt off. I mean, he's only wearing green pants. That's the only thing he's got wearing. But he's got quills coming out all over his body, including his head, and coming through his pants. He looks very frightened, and he's running, and he's firing behind him as he's running. I don't want to hurt you guys. I just want to be left alone. Sorry, pal, but when you failed to register yourself as a mutant, you forfeited your right to be left alone. And Battlestar thinks to himself, poor guy's scared, spitless, barely out of his teens, I'd reckon. And they come chasing after him. But I'm not. Uh-oh, he's making a break for it around that corner. It's a dead end. Where? The guy's hiding behind a dumpster. Check to see if he didn't go through that door. I'll start rifling through this garbage. You talk me into it. They're going to get me. Does anybody see the names on that box by Cap's feet?
I can't make it out, Rick.
Looks like it says Claire and plus like maybe Dennis. Maybe it's like the creative team of Claremont and I don't know, Denny O'Neill. I don't know.
Huh. Mm. I'm still hung up on Fred's pump and lube gas station from the last issue. So
is that t-shirt worthy there, Bob?
I don't know. That would be a cool t-shirt though. Fred's pump and lube. Yeah.
And then this guy he throws some more quills at Cap and Battlestar. They'll lock me up. Maybe execute me. No, I can't let them take me. And he hits Battlestar, and Cap yells out, "Battlestar!"
Yeah, ow!
Yeah, that was good. You okay? Yeah, don't think they're poison, but they sting like a son of a. Okay, mutant, this is going far enough. And he's climbing up a fire escape ladder, but Cap just grabs the bottom of the ladder and he rips the whole thing down. Then John rips a door off, on the building here, and he puts it on top of him. And he's like, just keeping you from shooting out your quills, mutant. But I swear to you, I'm not a mutant. I wasn't born like this. An accident made my body this way, you know, like the Fantastic Four. That's for the courts to decide. We don't make the laws. We just enforce them. You were identified as an unregistered mutant. It's our job to see that you registered. Don't worry, man. The feds will treat you fairly. They've been totally righteous with me. Yeah. But they didn't accuse you of being a mutant. And they load him onto a helicopter. Tell you what, if you keep your cool and there's no further incident, we won't report how you resisted arrest. This whole deal stinks. It's one thing to be sent after a car-carrying supervillains, but this is just a frightened kid. What difference does it make how a person got a superpower? Being born with them or getting them through a special process like Cap and I did? Powers are powers. Seems like this is just another way to find new minorities to oppress. Meanwhile, in upstate New York, another pursuit is still in progress. And so Diamondback, in her ripped leotard, is running after the captain. At the end of the hall, Captain, special drop tubes that head straight to the hangar. I see them, Diamondback. And he jumps in. Phew, he negotiated that like he's been doing it all his life. What a man. If only I could make him forget my criminal inclinations. What great gymnastics we could perform together. Are you muted, James?
No, I'm not. Okay.
You were laughing so hard, nothing was coming out.
I just remembering 12-year-old me and not getting that reference.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, you're like, yeah, I bet they could do some great gymnastics. That would be fun.
Uh-huh.
I just hope the Viper hasn't made good on her getaway. In the hangar, Viper, over here, free us. No time, idiot.
What?
Stinking witch. Why'd ever throw in with her when she just muscled in ahead of the Super Society? Sidewinder never would have left any of us behind. And Steve and Rachel land one of your serpent saucers, taking off. The Viper's inside, I'd lay odds. And he throws his shield, and Diamondback throws some of her diamonds. I'll see what I could do with a couple nitro-tip throwing diamonds. And it makes them explode on the back of the ship. We knocked it off balance a bit. It hit the hatchway, taking off. Stabilizing her liftoff may buy me just enough time to leap to the roof. Cap, wait for me. And here's another one of these multiple Cap, you know, in one panel where he's doing some somersaults. And from there, make it to the saucer. Made it. Darn you, Captain. Catching onto this craft is not quite the same as getting aboard it. I've got to swing from this landing wheel toward the rear hatch. It'll be tough with the wind against me. Inside, we see Viper on the console. I felt a small explosion as I was taking off. I better scan for damage. What's this? Instruments say the left landing gear is obstructed. Somewhere aboard this flying monstrosity are the external vid cams. Ah, here. And she hits the button. It says external vid cam. What? Him. The man I believed to be my arch foe, Captain America, in disguise. Wish he were beneath one of the exhaust vents so I could blow him off. But there are other ways of dislodging annoying Jetsam. And that's a pretty scary looking Viper right there.
All right. It's not her best panel. I'll admit to that.
This is true.
He's pretty spooky looking, right?
Yeah.
Those fangs, those eyes.
Well, a lot of the shadow and then also the pointy fingers with the claws there.
Yeah. And so she pulls on the throttle and we see Steve on the outside. Whoa. No, I'm just kidding. Just a whoa. Whoa. She's opening up the throttle, trying to really pick up speed. And I still haven't gotten myself a good grip. Got to hold on at all costs. I can't let a madwoman like the Viper get away. And nearby, we see Sam flying with Red Wing. Blasted Red Wing. A Falcon's fast, but the flying saucer may be faster. If only I'd heard it take off a minute sooner, I might have been able to catch it. But I was way on the other side of those serpents' hangout. Guess none of my partners heard it in time to do anything about it either. It's getting too far away, even for my 2020 peepers, to keep track of. Come on, Red Wing. We may as well turn our tail feathers around and yo! And one of the serpent ships is right there on top of Falcon. And the door opens up and Noband comes out. Fal, come on, get in. Nomad, he, Cap, and D-Man must have commandeered one of these other serpent ships. Hey, where's Cap? Diamond back there at the controls thinks Cap made it aboard the Viper's escape ship. Uh-huh. And since these ships all transmit a special homing frequency, the Viper could fly to China and will still be able to follow them. And then we have Slither there, who is tied up. Huh. I had that Diamondback chick pegged to the self-serving sleeves. But there she is trying to help us nail the Viper. Let's cruise, DB. You got it, Mr. F. The Viper isn't half as familiar with these flying funhouses as I am. I'll catch her. And who's this?
I was talking about the...
Oh, yeah. Oh. Nice attention to detail, James.
That was the first time I've seen the fix.
I wasn't even looking that high.
Touche.
Her diamonds are here, Bob.
Oh, there they are.
Yep. Yes.
Which is the other thing I was going to comment on. In her and her leotard, she seems like she's pulled out 10 of them already at this point, and I ain't figured out where they're coming from. But she was able to reload.
Indeed.
Uh-huh. And who's this? A Viper called him Slither. We brought him along so he could pump him for info. I figured the Viper must be up to more than just raising the Serpent's headquarters and poisoning everyone who didn't sign up with her. Of course, according to this guy, the Rattler, she sent three snake guys ahead of her with canisters filled with some something, snake venom maybe? You have any idea where they're going, DB? Not a clue. I was against the Viper the moment she broke in. Then I guess it's up to our squirmy little friend here to give us the lowdown. You get nothing from me. I'd sooner die than betray my mistress. We'll see about that, freak. And Jack does the quintessential taking the fist and putting it to his palm and pounding it. No matter, I'm not sure Cap would approve of it. Stuff it. Elsewhere, in the helicopter with Cap and Battlestar, Jin, you must have been cheating. Come on, Captain America never cheats. Captain, bogey sighted at 1 o'clock, moving in fast, very fast. What? And by the way, they have the kid, you know, locked up with them in the thing. But here's that boulder that I was telling you about from the cover. Holy, some kind of fireball shooting something. And it shoots right through the hull of the helicopter. Cap puts his shield up to protect himself. Shoot, blew us wide open. Cap, you see what I'm seeing? Four guys riding on a big floating rock. And sure enough, it's the people from the cover that I mentioned before. Hear us, mutant persecutors. Surrender your prisoner or face the wrath of the Resistance. The who? You have 10 seconds to comply before we blast you out of the sky and come get him. Threaten this, Toasterhead. Cap throws his shield. Occult. He's throwing a shield. Deflected, meteorite. Okay. They want the hard way. The hard way it is. And they go ahead and blast the helicopter. Paralyzer. Crucible. Go in and liberate the prisoner. Occult. Stay here and cover them.
Piece of cake.
Holy split. These guys have honest to gosh superpowers. Nice how you threw away your only protection against me, Flag Man. I don't need... Ah! And he gets hit by the Resistant. I'm not called Paralyzer because it sounds good, boy Blue. Cap, got distracted. I'm on fire. Got to put it out. They have the prisoner. I'll cut the prop. And they did. They take the prisoner onto the rock with them. Cap, you okay? Get up. Why are you doing this for me? Mutant registration must be resisted. We want you to join our movement. The chop is taking a nosedive. Get up. And it is. It's going straight down. Then we cut to the Viper's ship. Viper to Copperhead, do you read me? No answer. I can only assume that he, Cobra, and Boomslang are away from the ship, carrying out my grand plan. Leadership of the Serpent Society would have given me choice operatives for future campaigns, but I may have no need for future campaigns if this one succeeds. Do not fail me, Copperhead. Then we cut to Washington, D.C., and there is Cobra sticking his head out of something. The coast is clear. I'm coming out of a manhole. And Copperhead's, don't crawl away empty-handed, Cobra. Don't tell me what to do, Copperhead. I was taking on the likes of Thor when you were knocking over candy stores. Still, the Viper put me in charge of this operation. I ask you again, what's in these insipid canisters anyway? Snake venom? Are we here to poison the capital's water supply? If Viper wanted you to know, she'd have told you. Sniveling runt. None of the original serpents were as unctuous as him. Why did I have to throw him with him and the Viper? I've worked with her before. She's as sick as they come. Here you used to be a lab assistant, Cobra. Why don't you take a sample of this fluid and analyze it? Why don't you shut your face, Twerp? I just don't see where the money is in poisoning a city. And then these two guys that work there come running out. Hey, What are you doing by those purification tanks? Dan, wait. The funny way they're dressed, I don't. And they get taken out. Stupid moves. These boyos won't be sounding any alarms. I finished dumping. Come on. It's a long crawl back to the ship. Meanwhile. And then we see the two snake ships. What'd I tell you? I'm almost up her tailpipes. And then we see Jack looking at Rachel. You're one heck of a pilot, Diamond Girl. I'm good at a lot of things, Nomad. I'll be glad to show you some of them when we have more time. Bow, Jacob, bow, bow. This lady reeks of availability. Wonder if she's safe.
What?
So you got to remember, Jack's from the 50s.
I know.
He's thinking, you know, those kind of like VD things like that.
Right.
Yeah. She's a loose woman.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And it's the 80s also, right?
Is this going in your time capsule, James?
I actually wanted one from the last issue, but I'll cover that.
All right.
Yeah.
So what do I do now, handsome? Nomad's no cap, but he looks a lot more fun than the bald Boy Scout back there. I think you must be wrong about Cap being aboard that ship, Diamond. If he were, he certainly would have overpowered the Viper by now and stopped this merry chase. This reject from a bad 50s sci-fi movie have any offensive weaponry? Say, you're not planning to... How do heat-seeking missiles sound? Yeah. You want to blast her right out of the sky? I don't know about that. We can't be sure if... Dweeb Man... You're the biggest wuss I ever met. You don't even know how evil the Viper is. You heard what Slither said. She tends to poison all of Washington. That's why we dropped off the Falcon, to get a phone, warn people. What do you suggest we do? Wait until she flies a kamikaze run over the White House before we try to stop her? Well, you're senior man here, Nomad. I guess it's your call. That's the first smart thing I heard you say, D. Okay, babe, let's do it. That panel's a little gratuitous.
It is.
Because we see her arms and her hand and just a tip of her chest. Watch
this. They passed the code.
And there's the missiles fly out, Bob. Missiles. Radar shows they shot missiles at me, those buzzards. Can't seem to shake them. Where are my rockets?
Wham!
I've been hit. Those accursed swine. Now I'll have to use my teleport ring. And she twists her ring. It only has enough power for one more jump. I was hoping I wouldn't have to use it. Arr, I hate teleporting while in motion. Brace my... And then outside... We hear Steve's thought bubbles. Something exploded in the back of the ship. We're on fire and it's spreading fast. Must have ruptured the fuel tank. I could do nothing about the Viper. But this is where I get off. And he jumps off. I can't be more than a few hundred feet up. Sparsely populated area below. With any luck, the ship won't crash on anyone. I hope T'Challa didn't skimp on the vibranium when he built this shield. I'm going to need every gram of that energy absorbing metal to walk away from this fall. Keep my legs bent. Be ready to roll. The rest is up to the metal. What? The Viper? How'd she? And he lands, and then he does a roll and somersault. Impact buried the shield, but it did the trick. It absorbed virtually all the kinetic energy of my falling body. T'Challa, I love you. I can't say I was 100% certain this would work, but I didn't have a lot of options. And then he grabs the shield. Not a dent. Doubt my original shield could have performed any better. Still, I miss the old thing. Nothing else will ever feel quite as right on my arm. No time for nostalgia. I've got me a terrorist to take in. Okay, Viper, it's just you and me now. No, Not him again. Oh, I was still moving when I materialized on the ground. Knocked the wind out of me when I rolled. Can't let him take me. Why don't you die, you meddlesome pig? And she pulls a gun from her holster and fires. Too stubborn, I guess. Bah, I'll never be able to get past his shield and his preternatural reflexes. I've got to get him to drop his guard and come closer. Yeah! And she throws the gun at him. No, stay back! Ha, he believes I'm my feigned panic. And just as he's on top of her, her fangs show. Hiss! Give up, Viper. We've proved it countless times before. You are no match for me. And she goes to bite him. My teeth! Fangs, huh? A recent addition to your repertoire? My uniform may look different, but it's still made of a synthetic chainmail. Now, if I just apply enough pressure to the right nerve cluster, and she's out. Better take that ring of hers. Don't want any more foes teleporting away on me. What? And there's a sound of an incoming vehicle. And out come Jack, Diamondback, and D-Man. Cap, how the heck did you get here? I hitched a ride on the Viper's getaway craft. And they all have a look of shock and surprise. And D-Man's like, oh. Jack's like, my God, the one we shot down? How did you? No matter. I'm okay. And I managed to bag the Viper. It's not over yet, Captain. We learned that the Viper sent some of her men ahead to poison the water in Washington, D.C. What? Have you? Yeah, we dispatched a Falcon to notify the authorities. We better get to Washington, D.C. regardless. Who knows what problems the Falcon has had trying to reach the right people. And there's Sam. He's on a payphone.
A little time capsule action there.
Could be.
Could be.
Hello, Avengers. Who? Dr. Druid? Oh, okay, this is the Falcon. Priority A2. Standby status. Check my voice print. Whatever. Look, there's no time to waste. Get a hold of the White House, the Pentagon, whatever. I have good reason to believe that Washington, D.C.'s water supply has been poisoned. Elsewhere, we see the helicopter crash. And lying on the ground is the pilot. And Battlestar and Cap are over top of him. How is he? Dead. And I don't feel too much better myself. If you haven't gotten those shoots on us in time. Man, we ain't never lost a fight this bad before. Our pilot dead, our chopper totaled, our prisoner sprung. We're going to catch flak like you wouldn't believe. Those men will pay. Washington, D.C. later that night. Honey, while you're up, could you get me a glass of water? Yes, dear. Here. Thanks. That's good. Ring. Phone's ringing. Now, who could that be at this hour? Next, don't tread on me.
The fact that we get to listen to you do Ronald Reagan is absolutely worth the price of admission.
Yeah, buddy.
Next episode with Ronald Reagan and the serpent accent, I can't wait to hear. Oh,
and I've never done it. I didn't practice it or anything. It's going to be on the fly.
Oh, priceless, priceless, priceless.
All right, so I have a question, guys. You know, we've had this conversation before. Super soldier, superhero, right? Grunewald tends to have a superhero. He doesn't kill.
He does. Yep.
But why did he just like, oh, nothing I can do about the Viper. Guess I'll just jump out of the plane now. Like, he didn't even bother trying to rescue the Viper.
He's been flying all that way and hasn't even been able to get into the ship.
Yeah.
So now that it's on fire, I don't see him being able to do anything else. At that point, he's basically saying, I got to cut my losses.
Okay.
It's a good point. You got to survive to fight another day.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Good point. All right, we're flying through this. All right, next issue, issue 344. This is a giant-sized ish, as it says on the front cover. And it has a cover date of August 1988. This has the same creative team as before. I do not have a solicitation for this one, though, so I don't know how this one was solicited. Sorry about that. But it is an interesting cover. We have and the cover is by, is this by Ron Friends?
This is Friends and Milgram.
Yeah.
Last one was Friends and Romita.
Oh, yes. Thank you. I forgot to mention that. Thank you. All right. Who wants to describe this cover?
Got it. So it is the captain, Steve Rogers, showing off his new shield in a room that is, if you look at it, you could tell it's the Oval Office. You got the presidential shield on the floor and the golden rug. There's a American flag off to the left-hand side of him. And then to the right side of him is a, looks like a presidential flag again, but it's being ripped and torn by a silhouette that is obviously Ronald Reagan, with green, scaly, snake-like hands and a very long tongue coming out. And it's the captain versus the deadliest snake of all. I'm sure that got a lot of people excited in 88.
Yeah, because that was
right at the end of his presidency, which may have been why they felt like they could get away with it a little bit. I don't know. This is one of those few times where you see a obvious thing that connects to a time in Marvel Comics. A lot of times they try and avoid it and things like that. But Cap's always seemed like he's always hit on different presidents.
Mark Grunwald was not shy about that. He loved doing stuff that was in current time, whether it was songs, pop references, culture references. Mm-hmm. He didn't shy from that. And it says giant size issue. It's not a double size issue, right? Because normally it would be 23 pages. We got 40 pages here. So almost double size, but that didn't stop them from double charging us. It's now $1.50.
It was.
Ain't nothing for free.
Oh, I'm sure I had to explain to my mom why it was worth twice as much too.
10:43 p.m. Washington, D.C., the White House, the president's bedroom. Mommy, I don't feel so good. What's happened to me? And President Reagan sits up. And then in the foreground of this image is a glass of water on the nightstand. And then he reaches for it. So thirsty. Need more water. Look, 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 look. And we get a close-up of Reagan's face. And it's half human, half scaly green. And the fangs and long tongue and his eyes have turned dark.
And the Band-Aid.
Yeah.
I didn't know what that was for.
You know, I could be wrong, but I seem to recall like there was something that he had a Band-Aid on his nose at some point back in that time period because of whatever. I don't know if he had a piece removed or something like that, you know, a procedure. So it might've been Kieran Dwyer's like homage to that time period. I don't know. I could be wrong. And he drops the glass. And the title to this issue is
Don't Tread on Me.
10:46 p.m., 1 mile outside the Beltway, we see Cobra coming out of a manhole cover. Where the... Last time I trust you for directions, Copperhead, we're nowhere near where we parked this serpent saucer. Boomslag, Well, you inform the cretinous Cobra that his constant grousing about my leadership is wearing as thin as the hair on his head? Tell him yourself, mate. Where you? What's going on here? A riot in the streets? We have a talent for the obvious, Boom. Thirsty. Warmth. Need your warmth. And sure enough, it is a riot. So in the streets, I'm not going to go through everything panel by panel, but just understand there's bedlam going on here. Cars are crashing into the sides of buildings. People are being pulled out of their cars and being beaten on the streets. So there's
cats living with dogs.
It's hell on earth. And so people are getting, you know, it fire, smoke. It's bedlam. Bedlam, I tell you. But these three serpent villains are just cutting their way through them, hitting and shooting people getting in their way. And Cobra thinks to himself, these rioters are acting more peculiar, as if they've been drugged or, of course, the canisters of poison we dumped into Washington's water supply. These people must have already been affected. But what sort of poison would enlarge their tongues like that? These mindless miscreants fall like chaff before the Sith. Save your similes and tell me something, Copper. What was in those canisters? It's apparent whatever it was, it's what's affecting these rioters. I told you before, Cobra. I don't know. The Viper didn't figure I needed to know in order to carry out the mission. And what goes for me goes triple for a lowlife like you. You better be glad the mistress even lets you participate in her grand scheme after the last time you failed her. And that was when, Bob?
That was way back in the semi-classic issue 182, Rick.
Which we referenced earlier.
We did.
These wankers sure don't know when to quit. You boys ever seen Night of Living Dead? Look at this. The rioter's skin is greenish and scaly, like a snake's. That was no poison we put in the water. It was some sort of a mutagenic chemical. No, you don't, Ace. I just don't understand the point of it. The Viper doesn't need a point. She's a nihilist. What's a nihilist, Bob?
I think that's somebody who, if I'm not mistaken, doesn't like any order whatsoever, is a complete opposite of any order. Not even an anarchist. An anarchist doesn't like any organized control, but a nihilist doesn't want anything, hates everything.
I don't know, James, what do you think? Does that work for you? Does that pass?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So her whole thing is just absolute anarchy, chaos, destruction of everything.
There's our craft. About time. I want to get out of here before the National Guard shuts down the town and makes it difficult for us to sneak away. I'm piloting. With your great sense of direction, you'll land us in the Potomac. Spare us with your witless witticisms and start the engine. Diamondback. And there we are. We see Diamondback sitting in her leotard in one of the chairs. And then there's the captain in another, holding his shield on his lap. What's your hurry, gentlemen? Call him the captain, Kobe. Ask your questions to their corpses, you idiot. And Copperhead fires some things out of his tips of his fingers. But Cap deflects it, and he smiles. Idiot, such respect your supers have for one another. Mind if I show you the same respect? And he comes and he punches Copperhead out. Time for your dance lesson, Clausy. Let me give you a few pointers. And she throws some diamonds. But Cobra thinks to himself, she purposely threw her diamond tips high. Regard for our past friendship? Bloke in black looks kind of like Captain America. Thought he wore blue. No matter. He's going to be black and blue and red all over when I'm through with him. Oh, they're so clever. That snake man I've never met is throwing some sort of sickle. And he throws it, and he knocks the sickle back into the snake man. I'm really disappointed in you, Cobra. I can't believe you threw in with Viper when she took over the Serpent Society. I cannot believe you allied yourself with that star-spangled fool, Diamond. At least he tried to save the society from those hooligans. You have me all wrong, Rachel. I haven't really betrayed the society. I'm a double agent for Sidewinder. You must believe me. You must let me go so I can prove myself to you. And she falls back. Cobra! Once I slither into this torpedo tube, no one can stop me. And he comes out on the other end outside. I'm free. And over there is a second serpent saucer, the one Diamondback must have used to home in on ours. I can use it to make my getaway. And he goes in there. But we have D-Man and Nomad there standing over Slither and Viper. What? Oh, no. There's more of them. Nomad, look, it's the Cobra. Don't just stand there. Grab him. Free me, Cobra. Okay, Viper. And he shoots at Viper. But just as he's about to, Nomad throws one of his discs and knocks whatever he was shooting at him out of the air. I don't know what it is. Bah, Nomad deflected my Cobra sting with one of his throwing discs. The fool, had he not interfered, the Viper would have already been dead. And instead, it frees her shackles. And just then, Cobra ducks underneath Nomad and D-Man, who hit themselves in the head. I've been eluding costume clowns since you two were in knee pants. Come on, D-Man, get the lead out. According to Cap, the Cobra is the slipperiest of the snake crooks. He'll have to go through me to get to the door. I could finish them off, but every second I waste gives the accursed captain more time to get here. 11:33 p.m., and we have Jack with his finger in D-Man's face yelling at him. Nose going, Dunderhead. You let the Cobra get away. How could Cap ever have considered making a clumsy moron like you his partner is beyond me. But you, I... And then Viper's like, the shackles, they're off. You stay here and see if you can manage to guard our prisoners all by yourself. I'm going after the Cobra.
Well, okay. Nomad took a dislike to me the moment we met, and working with him these past few weeks hasn't changed his opinion one bit. Still, don't have the slightest idea why I rub him the wrong way so badly. Maybe it's jealousy? Ding, 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 ding.
And then the whole time, Viper is sneaking up behind him and her fangs are showing.
Whatever it is, it's obvious we can't work together anymore. One of us had better leave. The question is who? Maybe we should let Cap decide. No, it's pretty uncool to make him choose between his friends. I guess I better. And Viper bites him.
Ah!
So I complimented him before for continuity. And then this one, her fangs broke the last issue on Cap's arm, but they're miraculously healed in this one.
Well, maybe they, you know, they're organic. Maybe they grow. Like if you knock out a fang of a snake, a new one will pop in.
That's true. Okay. Possibly. Okay.
Or am I thinking of sharks?
Sharks, definitely. But I thought snakes do the same.
Okay. 11:42 p.m., the office of the chairman of the President's Commission of Superhuman Activities. And we see him sitting there, and there's pictures of all these different people behind him, including like Freedom Force and so on. Have we forgotten how to knock, Raymond? Douglas, are you in? No time for protocol. I just spoke with the Avengers. They claim that terrorists have tampered with our water supply, poisoned it.
Oh,
and he looks at a glass of water on the guy's desk.
You haven't mineral water imported. Any possibility they're mistaken?
Exceedingly slight. You've alerted city authorities, I trust?
Yes.
Good. I better call the president.
No answer. Odd. That's his bedroom extension. I'd better call the service, have them look in on him.
Oh, and Ray, I don't want the Avengers in on this. They can't be trusted in matters of national security. You inform them of that. You hear? We have our own people to handle these situations. Captain America and Battlestar, mobilize them at once. That will be a bit difficult, Douglas. They're out in the field somewhere, rounding up unregistered mutants. They're 2 hours overdue reporting in. 11:45 p.m. somewhere in Pennsylvania. And Cap's just putting a phone off the side, emergency phone. You get through? Yeah, finally. Had to leave a message. Mr. Samish wasn't there. In bed, I imagine. His secretary's dispatched another chopper to pick us up. They want us back there pronto. Some kind of crisis is going on in the capital. Wait a minute. Four freaky mutant liberators blast us out of the sky, kill our pilot, steal our prisoner, and total our chopper, and they're not going to let us follow up on it? Man, I'm getting really fed up with their jerking us around all this time. The commission really must think of us as their brainless puppets. And he punches a pole, a wooden pole, and snaps it in two. Easy, Battlestar, easy. 11:45 p.m. Washington, D.C., and they're rounding up the two, Snake, Copperhead, and what's the other guy's name? Boom Slayer?
Boom Slang.
So Copperhead and Boomer, and we got Rachel says, gee, I'm really sorry, Cap. I looked all over. Cobra got clean away. He suspects I let him go. Drat. Well, secure these two characters. We'll secure these two characters and send D-Man and Nomad out after him. D-Man. And he sees D-Man's unconscious. The Viper's gone. I don't see Nomad either. He's bleeding from the neck, probably poisoned by the Viper. There are first aid supplies on board. I'll get them. Don't worry, Cap. All the other people of the Viper Fang seem to respond to this antitoxin. D-Man has a heart condition. No telling how the venom or antitoxin will affect it. Oh, she says that after she's already injected him. As much as I care for D-Man, the Viper has to be apprehended before she takes her schemes any further. You will stay with D-Man. But I want to go with, if you're looking for a way to earn my trust, this is it. Oh, okay, I'll stay. Good. If Nomad shows up, have him look for the code. Here's one of the society's microcommunicators. Keep in touch, okay? Sure. He grabs it and runs. Oh, Cap, is my criminal past always going to stand between us? If you were to just give me a chance, I could make you happier than any woman has ever made you. I know it. It's not my fault I've had rotten breaks all my life. All it would take is the love of a good, honest man like you, and I could be a good person, a hero even. How could I make you see that? Is that a panel?
That's okay. It, baby. That's my panel.
Oh, nice. I thought it was going to be something with Viper, but all right.
Yep, that's it.
12:01 a.m. And we got the Viper. Not only has she has that double holster thing that kind of straps across her waist, mm-hmm. She's got some like bolero belts across her chest.
Oh, yeah, you got to have those.
She's got a machine gun. Looks like an Uzi, maybe, in each hand. And she's maniacally laughing.
Oh, yeah.
What is it, James?
Well, one's an Uzi. The one on the left hand is an Uzi. The one on the right hand just seems a lot bigger, I think. But it might just be my perception.
That's what she said.
Really?
Rat-a-tat-tat-tat.
Ta-ta.
Love it.
And then she's yelling, ha 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 ha, burn Washington, burn. I'm not gonna do that one. I am the Viper, coiled at the nation's breast. America is weak and decadent. Its people are materialistic automations. Its leaders, shameless charlatans and capitalist tools. Its institutions, oppressive and obsolete. And she's just taking people out. She's blowing their brains out.
Literally.
And here at the so-called White House, we find American degradation at its most venal. Prepare yourself, America, for I have come to cut out your heart. And she
she breaks into the, she cuts a hole through the fence to get into the White House. 12:03 a.m. and we have Nomad running around. Holy cow, what's going on here? Block after block of looting and rioting? Maybe the poison those snake creeps put in the water was LSD. How's a car-carrying hero supposed to deal with something this big? I doubt even a heavy hitter like Thor could do anything to stop this madness. My job's to catch the Cobra and make him pay for this. On the other hand, a fellow could get a bullet in the head if he doesn't take a little affirmative action. And what he's referring to there is there's some police officers who must have drank the water because they are reptilian and they're using their guns to fire. And I find this ironic. He says, the police officer says, crawl, all things must crawl, shoot off arms and legs. And yet he's using his arms to shoot. Oh, irony.
Yes.
I'll just go collect my stun disc and he gets shot by one of the other police officers. Other cop nailed me. That hurt. And if my jacket weren't bulletproof Kevlar, it would have hurt even more. Okay, fuzzball, give me that piece before I decide to feed it to you. And he punches, but then he gets hit in the head. What? Something hit me in the head. Exploded. Head ringing. Can't see. He's being attacked and piled on by a whole bunch. And they're trying to bite him and eat him. And they're on top of him. It's a really, Night of the Living Dead kind of scene.
Does have that vibe, yeah.
And then we see Cobra around the corner. Not a pretty way to go. But then what is? At least that's one do-gooder who won't come after me. Still, I have this terrible feeling that the Viper is going to get away again and I'll be caught blamed for all this. I've got no great fondness for prisoners, assuming that they don't give me the death penalty for my part in this. Strange to worry about prison again after all these months. As a member of the Serpent Society, I never had to worry about that since Sidewinder always managed to spring us. But since my fear of the Viper prompted me to betray Sidewinder, I can no longer expect aid from him. If only what I told Diamondback were true, that I actually was working against the Viper. That's a laugh. What could I do against a madwoman like her? I don't even know where she is. I guess my only real option is to slither away like the coward I am and lay low for the rest of my days. And he leaves Nomad there. 12:16 a.m. and we hear the machine gun of Viper's guns as she's in the White House. And there's Secret Service agents lying on the floor. Any more of these insipid Secret Service men dare show their faces and they'll have to rename this place the Red House.
That was funny.
Startling the potency of the mutagenic enzyme my scientists extracted from the mutant called Slither. A few milligrams dissolved in tap water and men become slaves to the primitive reptilian complexes of their brains and begin to manifest serpentine physical characteristics. What an army of slaves they would make. Were I interested in so puerile a goal as the acquisition of power. And she's just going around shooting all the guards. No, my goal is the total elimination of all power, the downfall of a society in its archaical political systems, the ascendance of absolute anarchy. Noise at the top of the stairs. And she gets there. And who do we see?
It's Mommy.
It's Nancy Reagan. Nancy. It's the First Lady. Show some respect, people.
Mm-hmm.
And she's in her nightgown. And she is half reptilian, you know? And she's got the long tongue and she hisses at Viper. Where is your husband? And she hisses again. Look in my eyes and answer me. Where is the president? And she turns and she points. Very good. And now, and she puts the gun right to her forehead. No, you are not worth the bullets. And Nancy has tears coming from her reptilian eyes. And so she kicks open the door. Mr. President. Mommy. No, Mr. President. Someone much, much better. Oh, there's a nice little gratuitous butt shot for you there.
There is, yes. Wow.
Here, I have something for you. Drink up now. Yes. 12:59 a.m. This is ridiculous. And we cut to the inside of the saucer, and we have a Rachel who is putting on her Diamondback outfit. James, would the 12-year-old James like to describe what's going on here?
She is in the middle of dressing. She's putting on the outfit, and it is around her waist, and she's put on one sleeve, and her other arm is just in just such a position to cover up the very edge of her breast.
So she looks like she goes commando under her Diamondback outfit.
It does appear to be so. Now, all this time, and now we put on the costume. Is it some locker? I'm guessing.
Good point, James.
Just seems odd.
Maybe it's the same place she keeps her diamonds.
Possibly.
So we see D-Man laying on the floor. He's got a blanket over top of him. And she thinks to herself, the gas and shackles are going to keep Slither, Copperhead, and Boomslang harmless for hours. And there's nothing anyone can do for D-Man that I haven't already done. I'm a woman of action. Yes, she is. Surely Cap, of all people, can relate to that. If it's not for me placing that call to Cap's hotline, Cap wouldn't have found out about the Viper's craziness in the first place. Surely that entitles me to more than guard duty. And she pulls out the little micro transmitter. Captain, this is Diamondback. Come in, please. No answer. The big goof probably never turned it on. D-Man, hey, big fella, how you doing?
Okay.
Think you can hold down the fort yourself?
Okay.
Great. You're a real sweetie, D-Man. Remind me to show you a real good time when I get back.
Okay.
Fortunately, there's a homing transmitter in that gizmo I gave. And she comes into the other ship, and there's Captain America, and she yells, Cap! And who are you supposed to be, lady? That's not the captain I know. That must be the guy the government appointed to take real Cap's place. And she throws a couple diamonds, but Cap puts up his shield and deflects. Why'd I get the feeling this other guy makes the real Cap look like a pussycat? I don't know who that woman is, but judging by these nasty-looking spikes, she's up to no good. Good thing someone reported these strange-looking ships, and we decided to check them out. If I were you, miss, and she's running away now out into the field, I'd give up while still in a relatively good mood. And 50 feet away, we see Battlestar. Two of these crazy flying saucer things. Outrageous. What if there are aliens inside? What do I say to them? Pardon me, but are you responsible for all the rioting in the streets? Ha! Ew, these guys don't look like aliens, except maybe that snake-headed guy on the end. Nah, probably latex. Wonder who knocked them out and cuffed their hands and feet. And who's that big guy taking a snooze on the floor? These shackles are solid enough. These dudes aren't going anywhere. Unless, of course, they've got all my augmented strength like me. And then D-Man sees the back of Battlestar. Who's the man with the shield? Well, what's he doing with the serpents? Setting them free? I've got to stop him. No, I can't. I feel too weak. Better just lay still, play possum. Let him do whatever. Cap will understand. What could a poison guy do to stop anyone anyway? This! And he gets up from underneath his blanket and he attacks Battlestar. I totally disgraced myself by ducking out of a fight the other week. But by God, poison or no poison, I'm not going to back down again. Huh? The guy under the blanket. Not letting you, snake. And he takes him and
pushes him, like busts a hole out of the side of the vessel. Smashed us. Huh. Right through the hull. Who is this guy? He's almost as strong as me. That mask of his looks familiar. Didn't mean to do that. Is he? No, he's still conscious. Better take him out quickly before I collapse. Think you're pretty sharp, huh, Wolverine? Then what's the D on the chest stand for? Not Wolverine. Name's Demolition Man. And he punches, but Lamar puts his shield up. We'll have fun trying to demolish this, pointy ears. It's Antimania. By the way, my name's Battlestar. And he hits him in the head with the shield. Okay, Mr. D, this is where you get off. And he tosses him. Would he? And he tosses him right into a statue. Gotta get up. Stop this crook. Come on, you useless excuse for a hero. On your feet. But he gets punched. And then he gets punched again. This is one tough customer. Must be augmented too. Better after all the bad luck Cap and I have been having lately, I need to win this brawl. And he hits him again. And then this time, he does a double fist uppercut, including using his shield. You're going down, Mr. D. And he takes him out. Man, this guy stood up to a lot of punishment. Didn't seem to know how much about fighting, though. Still, a win's a win, and this one's mine. And then you see Cap walking up behind with a unconscious Diamondback over his shoulder. Good going, Battlestar. Assuming these two have something to do with this civil disorder, the commission is going to be mighty happy to get their hands on them. Come on, let's go look for more. 1:10 a.m. We see Steve on the streets. Block after block after block. Washingtonians rioting in the streets. Were I to take the time to break up the dozens of fistfights and stop the hundreds of acts of vandalism I've seen, I'd never reach the Viper. Still, every wrongdoing I pass by without stopping sticks in my gut like a dull knife. What was in the water that's making everyone act so crazy? And then he hits this guy, the shield. I didn't break this man's neck, did I? No, he. What's with his skin? It's. Move out. And then it seems like the National Guard's there. I don't believe this. The Vipers turned the Capitol into a city of snake men. 1:21 a.m. He's outside the White House. If the Viper meant wanted to do the greatest damage she could, she'd come here. Hope I'm wrong, or at the very least, I hope the president has been taken to a place of safety. Only one way to find out. And here's another nice jump with over the fence. Multiple figures there. What's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Captain America's. Well, Captain America. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Must be out of my mind to come here in light of my poor standing with the president's commission on superhuman activities. I'll bet that ever since I turned down their offer to work for them, they've been waiting for me to step out of line even a little so they can come down hard on me. Trespassing here is no small offense. Still, it's a risk I'll have to take. If the Viper did make it this far, I may be the only one who can stop her. The front door opened. Not a good sign. Good Lord, bodies all over the floor. Secret servicemen, from the looks of them. You're insane if you think you're getting away with this, Viper. Where would she be hiding? Where? There are so many rooms here. 107, if I remember correctly. The White House, home of every president since John Adams, George Washington's successor. This building is a far greater symbol of the nation than I am, or was. And yet, not every man who's ever lived here has been an honorable man. I don't really even know where the president stands on my current situation. If he didn't authorize the commission's replacing me, he must surely know of it by now. The new Captain America held a public press conference a few weeks ago. Well, I'll just have to ask him next time I see him. If the president's here, he's not where one would expect at this hour. The Oval Office, maybe? The Oval Office. I remember the first time I was in it a lifetime ago. I had just finished my training and been given my original uniform and shield by General Phillips. May he rest in peace. And the next thing I knew, I was told the president wanted to meet me. Me, an ordinary kid from the Lower East Side of Manhattan, meaning Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Not Brooklyn. That's from the movies, people. Steve Rogers. Steve Rogers did not grow up in Brooklyn. He grew up in the Lower East Side of Manhattan, which, if you read Captain America Sense of Liberty number one, he went back to live in the apartment he grew up in, and it was in Lower East Side of Manhattan. Just saying, everybody, the Brooklyn thing, it's movies.
They got to have something to differentiate the MCU from the comics.
It was one of the greatest moments of my life. The first time the significance of the role I've been given seemed real. And now it all seems so far away. I hadn't realized how far until now. Enough reminiscences. I've got a job to do. 2:07 a.m. and he's in the Oval Office. And sitting behind the president's desk with the chair turned away. Mr. President, are you here, sir? Someone's in here. I've walked into enough darkened rooms in my life to be able to sense that. Yes. His voice slurred. Sir, there's panic in the streets, and I believe there's a madwoman loose here in the White House. Let me take you to safety. And then he turns around, and he's all reptilian. He's no longer like partially human. Yes, safety. Oh my God, can that be him? Sir, you've been affected by some toxin that's been put in the water. We'll have to get you immediate medical attention. And he hisses at him and jumps at him. Sir, somehow he's even more serpentine than the fellow on the street. Probably more dangerous. The viper's doing? I've got to protect myself, but at the same time, I don't want to hurt him. And he hits him with the shield. Sir, you must stop this. You're ill, not in your right mind. And then those claws that you mentioned before, James, the president uses it and rips at the chainmail. So it actually goes through the chainmail back. He snagged my shirt with his talons. I underestimated his speed and ferocity. Sir, we have no reason to fight. Please listen to me. Innocent people are dying outside. I am not your enemy. I am the original Captain America. Your commission stripped me of my shield and uniform, and I wouldn't consent to letting them control my activities, but I'm still fighting the fight. I've always fought for liberty, for justice, for the American dream. Don't let your altered state make you forget your commitment to this nation's ideals, sir. Even more so than me, you are a symbol of the American people. You were elected to your office by them, sir, twice. Me? I was handed my symbolic role by the War Department, and I've been just too darn stubborn to give it up. Am I making sense to you, sir? Am I reaching you, Mr. President? Mr. President! He ducks as Reagan goes and jumps over him and lands towards the globe. Might as well save my breath. Whatever humanity there was in the present is now buried inside this snake thing. Wait, I just noticed something when he brushed against me. He was sweating. Snakes don't sweat. Could that mean his body is trying to shake off its reptilian traits? Got to keep him sweating at all costs. Try to accelerate the process. And then the reptilian Reagan grabs the pole holding the American flag and starts swinging it at him. But just then, Bob's crush, the Viper, comes out from behind the curtains holding her Uzi. I can't stay hidden any longer. I've got to see this with my own two eyes. Two great Americans degraded, reduced to meaningless brawling. Viper, then she is here. And just then he gets hit in the head with the pole holding the flag. How's that for? I wouldn't say that's irony, but that is poetic. She distracted me for just a moment, giving the president his chance to strike. At least the Viper's so amused by our struggle, she isn't getting in on it. If she were to begin shooting at me, I'm not sure how well I'd be able to protect him with all this frantic movement. Why, Viper? What is the point of all this? Anarchy, you establishment tool. Anarchy. What I've done is to plunge the heart of the decadent government into chaos. And after we've finished with you, my scaly little commander-in-chief and I will see to the administrating of my serpent extract to the rest of America. Imagine a nation of snake people crawling atop each other, devouring themselves. Delicious symbolism. He's sweating profusely now. Come on. Come on, Mr. President. Work that toxin out of your system. Work it out. I despise everything you champion, Captain. And this time, my plans have gone much too far for you to thwart. Ha ha ha. And we get to the next page. And the Secret Service are there at 2:15 a.m.
Fan out. We know he must be here somewhere.
And for God's sake, watch where you shoot. And they bust into there and they see there's the reptilian president over top of the captain choking him. But then we see this maniacal Viper. That's scary looking, right? Didn't she look just like crazy? And she's crazy. She's got this, you know, but she's got that look, right? Because the hair's over one eye. The classic right. look. But the other eye that's crazy.
That side's damaged, I thought, isn't it? Or am I mixing her up with someone else?
It was, and sometimes it is, sometimes it's not, depending on whether she got, you know. And then, but her fangs are showing. She's like, party time! And she's just firing the machine gun. And she's hitting the service. And they're firing back, but then they're like, stop shooting! You'll hit the president! And as she's jumping out the window, she goes, fools, hope they shoot the president. So that's a fun page. It was so fun. I had to get it for my collection.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you kidding me.
Isn't that cool?
Very cool. Yeah,
it is.
It's my only page that has the captain. But it has the captain, and it's got a Ronald Reagan and a maniacal Viper. So I'm very happy to have this page.
Very nice.
Absolutely.
And then Steve's putting a shield up to protect the firing on the president. Hold your fire! Mr. President, something's happening to him. He's starting to convulse. Maybe the sweating's having an effect. And he's starting to slowly, gradually turn human. Help me. He's shedding his snake skin. What? He must have exerted his body enough that his metabolism was able to reject the toxin effects of the mutagens. Sir, you're going to be all right. Just lie still. The president's behind this desk. He needs medical help. And he jumps out after the Viper. The Secret Service will take care of him now that he's recognizable. If I stay here to make a statement, the Viper will get away.
It's going for the window. Shall we shoot?
There's the trampled grass where she landed, but no indication which way she went. If I hadn't 100 other things to keep my eye on during the shootout. Psst. Hey, Captain. Looking for somebody? And there is the Cobra. And he's holding an unconscious Viper. I want to make you a deal. You can have this unconscious bimbo if you give the Serpent Society 24 hours to clear out before you go raiding our headquarters. What do you say? Cobra. No deals. I'm taking the Viper from you whether you hand her over to me or not. You're not even going to thank me for going to the trouble of nabbing her for you? You're a real pain, you know that? She's all yours. Just make sure she doesn't get loose for a while, okay? He drops her, and then he slithers away. Cobra. He slithered under the shrubbery. What did he slither under?
The shrubbery.
The shrubbery.
Here we go.
What? A shrubbery. With a white picket fence.
Oh, so predictable.
I mean, how many times do you hear shrubbery? Come on.
All right. You've been waiting for this opportunity. Yeah.
Probably
we
so.
Are the knights who say me?
Me.
Me.
I could try to follow him, but to catch up with him, I'd have to leave the Viper behind. I'm not going to risk that. She's the one I really want. Cobra and his cronies will just have to wait. Wonder why Cobra went out of his way to subdue him. Some sort of debt to settle? Surely it wasn't a matter of principle, or was it? 9:07 a.m., somewhere in Washington, D.C. Effects of the chemical seem to be temporary, but we've sent for Dr. Reed Richards and Dr. Henry Pym to do follow-up research on the toxin's possible long-term effects. The alleged perpetrator of the poison is due to be transferred from the 99th Princeton to the facility by noon. There's no further word on the man who turned over to the police, although his costume matches the description the Secret Service gave describing the White House intruder. Come now, Miss Cooper. We all know who that man was. Steve Rogers, the original Captain America. For months now, there have been unconfirmed sightings of someone matching his general description and MO operating throughout the U.S., Las Vegas, Kansas, the Vault, Los Angeles, operating in direct defiance of our directive that he cease and desist in his role as Captain America. Well, I don't believe anyone's heard him actually claim to be. That doesn't matter, Raymond. With his breaking and entering of the White House, he has gone too far. We cannot permit someone with such a blatant disregard for national security to remain at large. I want all available resources devoted to his apprehension. With the persons we believe to be his accomplices already in custody, I am confident we will have enough evidence to put Steve Rogers out of action permanently. And he,
dun, dun.
He gestures to Jack, Dennis, and Rachel. In the epilogue, 2 days later, 8:01 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the White House press conference room.
My fellow Americans, as you're probably aware, Washington has been under martial law for the past 24 hours due to the mass hysteria induced by chemicals that were dumped into our water supply. I am happy to report that we have weathered the crisis and martial law has been rescinded. The hallucinogenic efforts of the chemicals have all subsided and civil authorities have restored the peace. Furthermore, the alleged perpetrator of this heinous act is in federal custody and have instituted measures to safeguard against such a crime being committed again. No one regrets the loss of life, the property damage, and the mental anguish suffered by the citizens of our national capital more than I. But it is a testimony to the resilience of the American people that we've managed to recover so quickly and completely. As for those who you may have heard been concerned about the welfare of the First Lady and myself, well, you can rest assured that we were never in any danger whatsoever. And then just then, we see a little glimmer off of noticeably long incisors on Ronald Reagan's teeth. The end.
Wowzers.
Whoo.
Wowzers, Rick.
What a story, guys.
What a tour de force.
Absolutely.
Right? Yep. What a story.
Yep.
Well, the great ones really connected to me and really hooked me into it again, like I said, for years.
What did you love about this story?
One, the fact that it was in real time, it kind of connected. I thought that was interesting with the president and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I got interested in the whole Rachel thing and her interest in Cap and her past and stuff like that, which Mark took for a while and kept stretching that out and developing her as a character. Again, I was a new kid reading this stuff, so the drama between the sidekicks, if you will, and what was going on with them, I found fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And then also the fact that the government was going after him, so I just had to get the next one and the next one to keep seeing what was going to be going on.
It was
a total soap opera, right? I mean, it was so gripping. You know, you cared about what was going on with these characters. And that was the beauty of the fact that this is, you know, a year and a half plus of storytelling. And Gruenwald was able to build on every one of these characters to the point where you cared.
Right. And for me, you know, I kind of jumped in the middle way through the story when I started reading it. It was years later before I was able to get all the back issues and actually read the story in its entirety. But you also had it connecting to other parts of the Marvel Universe. So that was getting me to be introduced and connect into, you know, what's going on with all these mutant registrations. What is that storyline about? What was Fall of the Mutants? So I ended up picking up a few X-Factors and stuff like that. Just connecting with stuff like that. And I will say also Mark's use of vocabulary. Oh, like, yeah. I distinctly remember being a kid and having to look up in the dictionary. Yes, I had to actually pull out a dictionary and look it up to be able to see what some of these words meant that he was using in the dialogue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're just being unctuous now.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes. Thanks, Bob. What about your thoughts, Bob?
Yeah, indeed. You know, what's great about the Road of the Captain arc is that you're getting two stories for the price of one. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, not only are you getting the Captain and Falcon and D-Man and Jack and Vagabond and now Diamondback, and you got that whole thing going on, but you got the new Captain America, right? And Battlestar, and they've got their own travails that they're going through, and periodically they intersect. I mean, this is double your money, double your fun. So I think that makes it for a particularly exciting, right? That they alternate back and forth, and occasionally, yeah, they converge and interact, and of course, it's all leading to a final showdown. But it's a nice way to spin the narrative.
Yeah, I find it interesting that Mark is able to have these two stories going, and have some complete issues that don't even have the other characters. So for example, when this whole thing started and after issue 332, we didn't see Steve for three issues.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And then in the three issues we covered tonight, in issue, one of the issues, we didn't see John and Lamar at all.
342.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's interesting he's able to do that and keep the stories going, even though they're not always in the story.
Right.
And then let's face it, Kieran Dwyer, you know, he's new on the scene. You know, he kind of came on board with this. And what a breath of fresh air. I mean, like, you know, like I was, you know, we had Paul Neary for a while. And I wasn't a huge fan. I mean, I enjoyed his stuff, but Kieran's stuff was just, I don't know. I really got into it, and not just for all the lady, the way he drew the ladies and the gratuitousness of that, but you know, some of the scenes with Cap, I mean, it certainly has a John Byrne influence, which we talked about before, which is his stepdad, you know, I mean, some of the close up on Cap's faces, you know, the smile, the eyes, you know, the mannerisms, you know, I really enjoyed that.
Absolutely.
So the story, the art, everything has been great. All right, guys, let's go through this. All right. So, you know, James is our guest. He gets to go first on this. James, what of these three issues, what was your favorite panel?
So I stick by my guns that my favorite panel was 342, page 4, the panel with 11 captains being able to go from the door of the house to the roof, to the swimming pool, up to the flying craft.
You suck.
Thank you.
That was going to be mine. Although you did say in the beginning, you said it was going to be t-shirt worthy. So,
did I?
Yeah, okay. You changed it. All right.
I did.
Fine, whatever.
Yeah.
Happens.
All right, Bob.
So,
Bob, what's your favorite panel?
Favorite panel, buddy. It's Viper. Burn Washington, burn, baby. That is. That's the t-shirt I want.
Is that the one where she's got the bolero?
Yep. The cross holsters. You got the bolero. She's shooting a gun in the air. Oh, yeah. I love that. Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
All right. My favorite panel is going to be, since James stole mine, I'm going to pivot here. And I'm going to go to issue, 343.
Oh.
And it is the page five. Well, technically it's page five, but if you're on like a Marvel Unlimited, it's page six. And I'm going to go with the second panel. It's the where Rachel was chasing after Steve as he jumps into the chute. And she's like, what a man. If I could only make him forget my criminal inclinations, what great gymnastics we could perform together. That's going to be my favorite panel from this series since James took mine.
Yeah.
All right. What do we got t-shirt worthy?
So I would say, and I know a person that can make me one, so I may even talk to her about it. The cover of 344.
Oh,
I don't know if that counts or not, but I think that would make a phenomenal t-shirt.
Absolutely counts. Yeah.
All right. Well, for me, it's issue 342. It's that close up of the captain when he's saying, I have to choose again before saving lives and apprehending villains. I mean, who doesn't have that struggle every day? Right?
How many villains do you have to apprehend, Bob?
Well, in my mind, yes. Okay.
All right.
I have grammatical villains I have to apprehend in my memos, right? And I love that. I think I'd love that on a t-shirt with that text bubble.
Nice. All right. Well, I'm going to go back to what my panel was going to be. So I'm technically not doing the same as James. I'm going to go with what he picked for his panel. That's my t-shirt. I want to see that of Cap jumping all around on a black t-shirt.
Okay.
All right. Nice. That sounds good.
All right. Time capsule. What do you got, James?
Also 342. A little bit later on when we're at the, Fred's lube and pump. Page 15, when he goes into the door of the gas station.
Is that 342 or is that 343?
342, page 15. They're going into the gas station. And when Steve's standing there, you look to the left of him, there's this display that says maps. And very few people would even understand why that's there nowadays.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's a good attention to detail, James. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, it's just, there's multiple times in here. There's some great different ones, but it just struck me as funny when I read the challenge and then when we were flipping through them to sit there and see a gas station with a maps display.
Mm-hmm.
Totally time, yep.
So you got my maps.
Well, when I was younger, I used to keep an atlas in my car just to be able to see where I was going and be able to get lost and then go back.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, how it worked back then was – you would call your friend and say, how do I get there? Right. And then you would write it down. And then you would be driving and then you would somehow lose it. And then you would be halfway there. You go as far as you can remember. And then you go halfway there and you call the friend again. They're like, all right, get me there the rest of the way.
Yeah. From a payphone.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Go to AAA and get yourself a trip ticket.
Mm.
Yeah, yep. Triptych. Yeah, have them, and they would get a map. They would get their maps that you could get at AAA for free, and they would highlight the route with a highlighter on the map so that you knew how to get there. Yeah,
well, that's friendly.
I know. Hey, AAA, good service.
Say, when I was stationed in Connecticut, the first duty station when I joined the military, that used to be my thing to do was to take the car and just drive for an hour, 2 hours, and then take out the map just to figure out where I was and then be able to figure out how to get back to the base, mm-hmm. just to see the countryside and get away for a little bit.
Nice.
All right, Bob, how about you? What do you have for time capsule?
You know, I'm going with the Falcon on the payphone, Rick. Because, you know, nothing screams 1980s like payphone.
I like it.
Yeah.
And a little Dr. Druid reference there, too.
Right.
I am totally surprised none of you picked anything with Ronald Reagan in it. So I'm going to go with the last issue, 344, page 20. And that's the one where Viper comes up. She comes across Nancy Reagan. Then she points to the door and she kicks it in. And there's Ronald Reagan. He's like, "Mommy." I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You got Nancy, you got Ronald, you got him saying "mommy." That goes in the time capsule.
The only thing missing is jelly beans.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Well, guys, this was great. James, thanks so much for coming on and spending this time with us. We really do appreciate it. We hope it was fun for you.
Always. I'm looking forward to being able to do it again next time.
All right.
100%. Yeah. You know, that's Super Soldier. We'll see you again next year. So episode is going to be episode 93. Come back. We're the time machine is bringing us back to present day. So we're in 2022. We are going to cover Captain America, Sentinel of Liberty, #1. And if you listened last episode to Jackson Lanzan and Colin Kelly, you know, you should be pretty excited for this and hopefully you've already read it, but we're going to take you through it and give you our thoughts on that as well. So come back for that next episode.
That's going to be a good one.
Yep. All right. So for James Foley and Bob Lucius, I'm Rick Verbanas, and you've been listening to the Captain America Comic Book Fans Podcast.